It was not like it had been flicked off, it was more gradual than that, although rapid. It appeared that the darkness moved from the right to the left, quickly obliterating the light. There was only one more brief flash, and the entire house was very dark. I immediately thought that clouds must have drifted across the moon and obscured it, although they would have been fast-moving clouds. That could have happened if there was a strong wind. When I left the bathroom and went back to my bedroom, I pulled the drapes aside and looked out. There was no moon, no clouds, and no wind. It was a calm, clear starlit night. I wondered if I had gone first into the front room instead of the bathroom, whether I would have seen anything outside the big picture window. I often do that, go to the window and look at the moon or stars. But the urge to go to the bathroom prevented me doing anything else. The way the light disappeared suggested movement, as though it had moved from left to right across the window. This would explain the movement in the hallway of the darkness coming from the other direction. My house is built in an unusual way. It is two-story and the living room, bedroom and kitchen are upstairs. The living room has a large picture window that faces the sparsely, buried memories, 203, populated rolling hills. I have considered the possibility of cars passing on the road in front of my house, but I discarded this theory. The road is several hundred feet away and the house is shielded by a thick line of trees. I have watched cars go up and down that road many times, and the reflection of their lights on the wall is always sporadic and blinking, caused by shining through the trees. The outline of the trees is always visible on the wall when they go by. Even when a car comes up the driveway and parks in front of my house, the lights are different. I have observed this many times. This was not a car, either on the road or the driveway. It had to be a very bright light shining in from a high angle in order to illuminate the entire room and hallway. Almost a week later, when the moon was really full, I watched to see if it would create the same effect at night. I found that at this time of the year, winter, the moon travels directly over the top of the house, rather than in front of the window as it does in summer. Thus, the moonlight shines in the window at a different angle. It did not create the effect I saw. I still wonder if I would have seen anything if I had been able to go to the window sooner. I am not saying the light I saw was a UFO, but it shows that we do not always behave rationally when awakened in the night by strange lights or sounds. Chapter 6, The Library. Information can be gained in many different ways when the subject is put into the somnambulist state of trance. Often it comes from reliving their own experiences in past lives, but this is hampered by the restrictions of being confined to a body in a particular life. They can only recount what they personally know and have been exposed to in the lifetime. I have found the best information comes when the subject is taken to the in-between lives state, the so-called dead state. Then the restrictions of the physical body are removed, the blinders are taken off, and they have access to any information they may wish to explore. I discovered a wonderful place on the other side in the spirit realm where there are no limitations to knowledge. This is my favorite place to do research, the library. This has been described in many different ways by my subjects, but I believe they are talking about the same place. They are only placing it within their perceptions. Many have described it as an actual building where information is available in many different forms, according to the advancement of the seeker. There are books on shelves that can be read, or the person may enter rooms where the information is displayed on the walls around them in holographic 3D images. In many cases, there is a guardian or caretaker of the library who 204, the library, 205, greets us when we enter, and theoretically checks to see if we have permission to use the facilities. He will then lead us to the proper section of the library where the information we are seeking can be found. In a few cases, my subjects describe the library differently, but I believe it is still the same place on the spirit side. One subject's description: that library is my favorite library of all the worlds. D, I have been to the library. Can you tell me what your library is like, and I will know if it is the same one? S, it is white. It has no ceiling. It has no roof. It has columns. The books are on shelves, and enclosed in glass cases. There are books on every subject known to man in all his forms. There are books that record histories of all worlds that have ever been in existence. There are books that point to the worlds that will be coming into existence. It houses the past. It houses the future. And it houses the present, because they are all one. D. Is there someone that is in charge? S. Enthusiastic, yes. D. I call him the guardian. Is he the same one? S. Yes. I call him the caretaker of the books, but his purpose is the same as the guardian's. But there are a number of different libraries. Each has its own caretaker. Each has its own information. Just as there are groups in this world, there are groups in that world. Each group in that world has its own system. Just as ethnic groups have their own customs, groups there have corresponding systems. For instance, there is a medical library, only for persons who are interested in learning medicine. There are libraries concerning the stars, for people who want to learn astronomy or astrology. There are whole libraries, entire libraries, covering just one topic. In these places we can indeed learn many things. Or we can learn what is meant for us to know, because we can only know so much. There is much material that is not meant for us. 206. The custodians. D. Yes, I have heard that before. That some knowledge is as poison instead of medicine. That we wouldn't understand it, it would hamper us. More information came through in 1987 when the subject went to the library to seek information. His answers were extensive, and have been incorporated with other subjects who have accessed the same records. Since the material is so similar, I have compiled it to read as though one person is speaking, but it actually came from several people. All of this information came through before I started active investigation. S. I'm just coming into the rotunda of the library. D. Is the guardian of the library there? S. He's coming toward me now. He's a light being, arrayed in a white robe. He has a hood, and his face is almost beatific. It's beautiful. He just shines with all this light, and it's pulsating with colors around him. D. We would appreciate it if he could find us some information on the phenomenon known in our time as UFOs or flying saucers, extraterrestrial craft. Can we have access to that information? S. He's taking me into the viewing room. You're in the center of the room. And everything is happening around you. It's like a holograph. You see the scenes from all sides, and you view it like that. And he points to different things on the screen. He says there are many interesting things about these craft, as you would call them, but they're all part of the plan. He says there are many, many, many more planets in the universe that have evolved higher forms of life than you people in the testing school of Earth understand. He's showing me. In awe, I'm seeing. Oh, just countless and countless stars. It's very serene and beautiful. He's showing me Earth, and he's pointing at different stars. And he says, higher forms of life live in the library, 207, this area. Over in this area, and in this area. He's showing me beautiful pictures of other worlds. There's a gorgeous purple-colored planet, and he says this is where many UFOs have come from. And he says these beings have to reproduce a vehicle. They can travel from their planet in spirit form, but when they come toward the Earth atmosphere, they have to incarnate in a vehicle. Mainly like we call a spaceship. D. You mean they create this after they enter our atmosphere? S. Right, because the Earth is such a different density and vibratory nature from their own planet. D. Do you have any idea where this planet is, or how far? S. He's saying something about Betelgeuse. I think it's a constellation or a star. D. Why are they coming here? S. The librarian is discussing all this with me right now. He's saying, they're coming because the Earth is going to become part of the spiritual universe. And many beings have gathered from all over the universe to see this momentous event. D. You mean they were just here to watch? S. To analyze and watch. D. Well, if they journeyed here in spirit form, and formed this ship, did they then become physical themselves? S. They had to form the ship to enter the Earth's atmosphere, because Earth is a different vibration from theirs. So this was a way they could land and see what the Earth is like. It would be similar to when we go to the moon, we have to bring oxygen and things of this type. D. This is confusing because I thought if they were in spirit form. But you mean, more or less, they are transporting their bodies. And then they create this? S. Yes, because it's very hard for them. The vibratory nature of the planet is changing, and they are going to be on hand to watch this. But they could not function in the vibration, so they have to protect themselves, and they use vehicles like ships. 208. The custodians. D. Do they have physical, solid bodies? S. Not on their home planet, no. D. What about on this planet? S. On this planet they cover themselves in something like a body casing, so they can function in this vibratory nature. D. What does this body casing look like? S. They try to appear as humans. And I am seeing that they have beautiful faces and eyes and blonde hair, but their skin is almost a gold color. D. Then what are they on their home planet? S. They have more of an energy body that can take any shape it wishes. D. And these beings are just watching? S. Observing is the better word. They do try to contact other people at different times. D. What would be the purpose of that? S. To let them know they are being observed. They're here for the momentous occasion when the Earth becomes more enlightened, then becomes part of the spiritual universe. D. And they want certain people on Earth to know they are observing? S. I really can't answer that question. D. You don't know, or you're not allowed? S. The librarian says. Everything has a purpose. Do not question. He says everything will be revealed eventually. There are other beings too. In time their appearances will have a purpose. But right now that information can't be clarified. But there is a definite purpose behind why they are here. It can't be revealed right now. D. Well, can we ask him specific questions? Will he show you the answers? S. It depends on the question. He says it's very important to understand that at the rate of your mental abilities, you might not understand everything that this channel is using. He says some questions cannot be answered at this present rate of your evolvement. The library. D. Then he will tell us if there's something that can't be answered. All right then. Can we examine this solar system? S. He's pointing out the different planets aligned around our sun now. D. How many are there? S. He says in time before the Earth ends there will be 16 planets that will be discovered as part of this solar system. He says there will be one huge planet discovered about 2040. Then there'll be another planet found about the year 3000. And then there'll be another planet discovered, and this will be the final planet. This will be taking place about 6,000 years from the time of Christ. D. Do these planets have any life on them now? S. He says all planets have life, but it might not be life forms you are familiar with in the terrestrial world. D. Are there any that have human or humanoid inhabitants? S. Not in this part of the solar system. Earth is the only one. D. Have there ever been in the past? S. Yes. He says at one time there was humanoid-like life on the planet Mars. He's pointing to that right now, because it is a red planet. And he says there was a human spirit-like on the planet Venus. He says all planets, though, have spirit entities on them, which are like the guardians and watchers. D. Do these spirit forms ever take on a fleshly body on that planet or elsewhere? S. Most of the spirits on these other planets are of a higher vibrational rate than you of the Earth. It's painful for them to come to the Earth, because they have to lower their vibration, so they do not incarnate much on the Earth plane. But have, both in the present and in the past, as well as the future. But it's very hard for them, because this can be very painful to lower their vibrational rate. It's like trying to condense a tornado into a glass. D. Good analogy. You said there was a human form on Mars at one time? 210. The custodians. S. Yes, but this was a long time in the past, almost 75,000 years ago, in our Earth reckoning. Life forms existed on the planet Mars, very similar to terrestrials, but due to their misuse of energy, they were not in tune with the spiritual progress that is taking place in this part of the solar system. And as a result they were banished to another part of the universe. D. Are there any remnants of their civilization? S. Man will discover evidence of their civilization when he explores that area. But this information will not be allowed to the general public. D. Why will it not be allowed? S. He's saying, man is still functioning through his sense of greed, and his sense of power and dominion. And as a result, information of this sort is only for the few for power and dominion. D. What is the nearest star system to ours that has intelligent life capable of space travel? S. Aldebaran. D. What about the craft and the beings that seem to be visiting us now? S. There are extraterrestrials that are watching the planet, but they do not try to interfere that much. They do come with a sense of peace and goodwill for man, because they're trying to help the evolution-evolvement rate of their terrestrial brothers. Many of them come from Aldebaran, Betelgeuse, and Sirius, the Dog Star. These entities from that area are part of the same galaxy that Earth people are from. At the present time, they are watching the evolutionary rate of the planet Earth grow to a high degree, to take its place within the Galactic Federation. This is a spiritual confederation of advanced beings centered in light and love, and we are part of that plan. He says that not all beings who come to the Earth are positive. There is one group that you would consider negative, but they are in the minority. They belong to another federation. D. Can you tell us what these beings look like? The Library, 211, S. One common characteristic is that they have reptilian-type features. Their eyes are more reptilian-like. He's showing me a picture of one right now. He says their original evolution was through the reptilian family. What Earth people would call reptilian-like. Their skin is not smooth like our skin is. It has a rougher texture, but not exactly scales. They have large eyes, with a slit-type pupil. And they don't really have a nose or a snout, but they have nostrils. And their mouth is very small actually. They don't eat like we do here on the Earth. It looks like they inhale essences that help them survive. He's showing me different sizes of different members of this whole race, and their bodies range in size from about 4 feet all the way to 8 feet. D. Do they have limbs like we do? S. Yes. They have limbs. And they have lizard-like finger-type things, almost like a bird's talons, but they're not talons. They taper. D. How many fingers do they have? S. It depends on the species, from which system. Some have 4, others have 3, and then others have 6. D. Do they have opposable thumbs as we do? S. The ones that have 4 digits do. The others don't. D. What about hair on the body? S. They really don't have hair like we have hair. They don't have fur either. They have protective coatings in different areas of their body that are more hardened skin than hair. For example, the skin around the reproductive system area is very hardened, because when they do engage in reproduction, this brings out their hardened senses, and they can be rough with each other. This is why that area has evolved to be tougher. D. Do they have separate sexes? S. Yes, they have separate sexes. But there's some hermaphrodite in the three-digit ones. Both male and female of the ones with three digits can incubate young. They appear reptilian-like, so in their reproductive system, the custodians, they bear eggs. He's showing me an image of that now. He says this is how they give birth. They bear eggs and these are placed in special chambers they have in their bodies. D. Do they have ears? S. He says their sense of hearing is very acutely attuned. They have shell-like things in their skulls. They're not like ears, but they can hear a wider range of pitch than we can. D. What about their ships? What type of craft are these mostly seen in? S. Their craft has more of a cylinder shape. Some are cigar-shaped. Other ones appear as an egg or globe shape. They use an organic material from their world to build their crafts. It's a combination like rubber, plastic, fiberglass and metal mixed together. It's a very hard type of substance, yet it is organic, and it can go through many different heat exchanges to cold extremes. And it goes through a great distance of time, because their home planet is on the other side of the universe. It's a very resilient material. It goes through a lot, so it can expand and contract. The craft are powered by a solar collector, since they've learned about solar energies. We would call it solar energy, but to them it's star energy. They focus beams of light from different stars to make their craft travel. They call it a star collector, because in their travels they use different stars as a guidance system to get where they want to go. They come from quite a distance from this planet, and they're just roaming in his part of our galaxy now. D. How long have they been here? S. They have only roamed this area for the last 1,000 years. D. How can we tell the difference between the positively oriented and the negatively oriented extraterrestrials? S. That's a very interesting question. You'll feel in tune with the higher beings that have a sense of kinship with the Earth people. There will be a sense of love that you will feel, a sense of happiness, and a sense of camaraderie. The beings from this other federation are basically very cold, the Library, 213, clinical, and you will feel fear. Fear will be very predominant. D. There are reports of tall blonde aliens. Do you know anything about them? S. The ones that are more humanoid-like are part of this galaxy system. D. Do they have any bases here? S. They have used two of the moons of Uranus. He's showing me Uranus as a base station for their explorations in this part of the galaxy. D. Do any have bases on Earth? S. The humanoid-like have bases. He's showing me there's one located in the ocean. He's saying their craft can go into the water. This is located near the Caribbean Ocean. And there's another place that is high up in the mountains somewhere. Yes, it looks like South America that he's showing me, near the Amazon River. And then there's another place that he shows me in Australia or New Guinea, somewhere in that area near the ocean. These people, he's saying, are very much full of love and light, and are trying to help mankind. They've been coming to this planet for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We would call them the Watchers. D. Do these people ever have contact with humans? S. Yes, for specific reasons. Either to be instrumental in helping their spiritual growth, or to relay information about new inventions and things of this type. They will be of service as the Earth shifts. D. The ones that are more humanoid, what about their craft? S. They are normally the traditional saucer shape, basically made from some type of metal. It's a very shiny, shiny type metal. I don't know what kind of metal it is. He's saying, in the future you'll know about these craft and this metal, but it's not mined on this Earth. There's no metal comparable. And they power it by thought energy. That's the phrase he's giving me, thought energy. It gives a rapid sense of propulsion by group thought energy. It's 914. The custodians collected and stored as energy into batteries, and this motivates these ships. D. What material or type of substance are these batteries composed of, or how do they operate? S. Smiling, he's just put a big, huge blueprint before me. I can't understand it. Thought is energy. He is saying, and people of the terrestrial form do not realize how powerful it is. It's hard for you to understand, he says. It's not collected in batteries, per se. I don't understand what he's trying to say. He says it's hard for your mind to grasp what it means. In time people of the Earth, humans, will expand their consciousness so they will understand this phenomenon. But at this present rate of evolution, you're not ready for this information. D. Do the Watchers travel through time as well as space? S. As advanced beings, they are capable of traveling through all sense of space. And time is space. D. Have any ships ever been captured or crashed on Earth? S. Two of the reptilian-like ships have crashed on Earth. One near the Arizona desert, and the other one in the Indian Ocean. D. Were they retrieved? S. The one that crashed in Arizona was retrieved. D. Any occupants aboard? S. The burnt bodies were on board. D. What happened to them? S. He is saying they have now been cremated, but they were observed by scientists. He says the American government and the Soviet government have had many contacts with extraterrestrials, both of the reptilian-like as well as of the ones from this part of the galaxy. They do not release information to the masses for fear of panicking the people. In the Soviet Union, at one point, A radio telescope operator was communicating with an extraterrestrial source, but his superiors stripped him of his rank and reassigned him. They reassigned him to a mental institution where he went through shock treatments, which now have. Azza, the library, 215, question, have collapsed his mind? HMMM. This was done because he was releasing information to the Soviet underground about this, and they felt this would panic the nation and they would not have control and power anymore. D. What type of communication did he receive? S. He established a type of code with them, through electronic pulses. D. Similar to our Morse code? S. No, it wasn't like Morse code. He's showing me something like light energy translated into pulses on a radar-like screen type thing. D. The watchers he spoke of, do any of them live within the Earth? S. No, they don't live within the Earth. They live within their ships. D. I meant, other people living inside the Earth? Going along with the theory of having a hollow Earth. S. No. He's showing me a picture of the Earth. And he says, there were bases carved out at one time, which were used eons ago. They were rediscovered by these watchers. It's like explorers in their pursuit of mountain climbing, going back to a cave occasionally, but they don't really live in them. They really don't want to live on Earth. It's not very important to them. They do explorations here, but mostly there's a communication line between these other star systems. D. What about the cases we've of ships that appear to be collecting energy or water at different places on the Earth? S. They're not collecting water, they're not collecting energy. They're actually charging the electrical field, and picking up communications, energy. They're monitoring different forms of life that exist in the ocean, whales, dolphins, sharks. They're taking experiments, that's what he's showing me. They also monitor our communications, our electronic capacity and our nuclear power, when they, 216, the custodians, appear over different installations that deal with communications and power. D. They give the impression they are somehow dependent. People think they are taking on power from the electric stations and things like that. S. Smiling, he says, no. That's not true. These beings are so evolved, you people are back in kindergarten while they're high school level. D. What is the mode of their interplanetary galactic communications, considering that they must travel such enormous distances? S. Again, thought power is used. D. Relating to that same question. Why don't they respond to our interrogations via radio frequencies? S. He says they have in the past. We just talked about this phenomenon that took place in the Soviet Union. But, again, man is not ready. That's what he says, man is not ready, or he's afraid of having higher advanced beings dominating him. D. Well, the picture we get, basically, is that there are two major types, the reptilian and the watchers. How many others are visiting Earth? S. These are the two major groups that are manifesting in this part of the galaxy at the present time. There are even more advanced beings than the Watchers, that occasionally travel to this planet. But they only come, once every 10,000 years. D. Did any of these people have anything to do with the creation of human life on our planet? S. Yes, the Watchers have helped form man. He says you would consider these as angelic beings. And they have appeared as angels to people in the past. And, yes. They have helped form life on this planet, and evolve it to a higher degree. They are still helping at this present time, to help man's evolutionary rate. They are attempting at this time to create a more perfect human body, in terms of immunological response to disease and initial resistance to, the library, 217, disease. So there will eventually be those, or that stock perhaps, of human bodies that would be most resistant to most form of disease on your planet now. The intent of this genetic engineering is to, in essence, create a more perfect physical body, such that the spirit, once raised in awareness, can more perfectly translate into these more perfect bodies. A more perfect spirit requires a more perfect body. D. Then they are actually helping more than they are harming, aren't they? S. Indeed. There is no intent of harm in any of this. D. Some aliens seem able to enter houses where they don't even trip burglars. They just appear there. How are they able to do this? S. They have an antimatter energy that they use to do this.